listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas
Kelly. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 28th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. Ooh, we're going to talk ghosts and goblins tonight.
We are. It's going to be an interesting, fun kind of conversation.
It is.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And, of course, welcome to those joining us live. Welcome to those joining on the archives as well. We always appreciate you catching up with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, before we get into tonight's topic, yet again for what has been quite a number of times, it's been a rough time for the Gulf Coast in the United States, and we have yet another hurricane bearing down, Hurricane Zeta. And we just want to wish everybody in the path safety. We want to wish you well. You know, take the precautions you need to. Evacuate if needed. Bunker down if you can't. And just be safe. I know this is almost an old hat at this point, I'm sad to say, but This has been a rough year on the Gulf Coast, and our best wishes are with you.
Absolutely. And I know we even have, Wendy and Dr. Stephen, who are in the chat right now, are, you know, going to be at least in the nearby pathway. I think Wendy said that she's in just about the eye of the storm at the moment. But also Dr. Angie, who's not with us tonight, but likely listen in the archives. We have a number of familiars who are out there. So,
yep.
It's not just people we know. You know, compassionate, humanitarian. We wish everyone to remain safe.
Absolutely. You know, The human life is a precious thing, and we, you know, hope that everybody stays safe.
But, indeed.
Well, all life is precious, but.
Speaking of staying safe, ghosts and goblins. I love that this Halloween coming up on Saturday is a blue moon.
Yeah.
A full moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's Halloween, the Night of the Dead, which is Samhain. We're going to talk about that tonight, I know.
Oh, yeah.
But we turn our clocks back up in this area. So we get an extra hour of 2020. Oh, we just
well, so lucky you guys.
About that. So it's quite the night.
Yeah, and I hear that werewolves actually only come out on a blue moon on Halloween. So, you know, it's going to be a good time. We're going to see some supernatural stuff. We're going to have some evidence definitively of creatures that we always thought were myth. But, you know, it's, and this is why it's such an interesting topic, because these kinds of creatures, they inhabit our imaginations and they affect our reality. And
I love it.
It's a fascinating, thing that we have that has grown from, you know, we were talking about this before the broadcast, and you know, this is kind of somewhere I think we're going to start, which is the kind of the history of Halloween. You know, where did it come from, and you know, how has it developed over time? And then we're going to, of course, talk about some of the, you know, creatures, the ghosts, the goblins, the paranormal, and we're going to have a fun time with it.
Yeah, but. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's begin with how Samhain, which largely associated with the Celts, but I'll tell you a lot of that I'm familiar with, a lot of the indigenous European people as well, and the Scandinavians and Vikings in my world, all celebrated at the end of October the Night of the Dead, but it was also a rite of passage into a new year of the cold, the dark, preparing for the dark season. But it's also the night where you would honor the dead, and that's when there would be this, you know, think of it as a portal or a veil between the worlds, where you would feed the dead and all the dead would be awakened. And so, you know, that's kind of the gist of where that began. And of course, it's morphed over the years a bit. But in pantheism, where you believe that, you know, God is in all of nature and that God is that energy, aka paganism. There are many worlds. There's many worlds of life. You know, it's not just this three-dimensional down here. There's the spirit world, the mid-worlds, the Asgard, of course, in my reality. But many worlds of little people, elves, you know, goblins. And there's, you know, kind of everybody is active, you know, on that night, that one night. Magic.
Absolutely. Of course, and...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's interesting how these traditions morph over time. You know, we talk about the origins of Celtic lore. And, of course, that spreads throughout throughout Europe and affects other cultures as well. Germanic cultures coming in, the Norse people, things like that. And, of course, it becomes Christianized when Europe becomes, you know, a Christian place. And then it turns into, you know, what is it, All Saints Eve, All Hallows Eve, and it becomes a holiday much like some of the others in Catholic tradition, which, as we all know, were much based off of the, you know, pagan traditions that came before them. And, of course, all pagan means is anything that's non-Christian, essentially, you know, the old religions that came before.
Exactly. But. So, and at morphing, I mean, I always smirk to myself that Christianity took on, you know, kind of integrated Halloween. A lot of Christians celebrate Halloween. And, of course, they have their own slant on it, of course. Yeah. But, you know, the big pointy hats of the priests and the robes and the candles and the incense and, you know, the drinking and eating and feeding the spirit and the body, all of that came from indigenous cultures, you know, from way back. And it was also a way of, that's kind of how Christianity seduced indigenous cultures into the church. You know, it was kind of making those deals. Oh, well, you know, okay, we'll take that on if you, you know, pledge to Rome, that kind of thing. And you know, and because of that, we won't kill you or starve you out or poison you or something. But there's a lot of layers of acquisition during the time. But what happened, you know, I think inevitably is that Christians took on a lot of, indigenous beliefs, pagan beliefs, you know, pantheist beliefs. So it's, Dr. Stephen writes absorption. It's true. That's a perfect word for it, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for that.
You know, I can just imagine, you know, and in some cases, in many cases, Christianity, as many other religions have been before and since, was spread with the sword through warfare and conquest of different peoples. Another way it was spread was through missionaries who would go out and try to convert local populations, and that's a big way they did it too, by incorporating those local traditions. And I can just imagine some, it must have been extremely devout missionary to travel to the Nordic lands and see the early, you know, Nordic peoples and the Vikings and go in there and challenge their age-old gods. I mean, if you were in that position, you're probably going to want to make it look as attractive to them as possible, so you're going to incorporate as many of the things that they hold dear, because rightfully so, you're probably afraid of losing your head. And
and it's being a sacrifice to the altar.
Oh yes, yes. And also through this process, we pick up so many different aspects from multiple cultures that kind of get coalesced into these special days. And you can see it, you know, celebrated differently in different parts of the world. I think we were also talking about the Day of the Dead earlier too, and you know, some of the rituals and.
South America, huge, yeah. The Day of the Dead.
Mexico and South America.
If I recall, it just occurred not too long ago.
I thought
the timing is a bit different, I think.
Well, I think it's the day after Halloween, according to the information I was looking at. It's November, begins November 1st and ends November 2nd.
I was getting a different celebration mixed up with this. There's preparations for what you're talking about. Yeah, so lots of cultures continue, and of course we know that South America is hugely Christianized.
Yes,
you know, and that
especially
melding
Catholic.
Of indigenous beliefs and culture, and so look, my favorite time, and I know Cecilia's. In the chat saying her grandson's listening, hello, welcome to the show, and saying Halloween is his favorite season. Well, it's mine too. I love this time of year.
Oh yeah.
And it is when nature is kind of getting ready to sleep, everything's going quiet,
mm-hmm.
and as you know, our weather and our seasons are quietening, the dead awaken, and at least that's the belief, and I tend to go right along with that because I love that. It's when we awaken the worlds and we feed the worlds. I think they naturally awaken anyway, and we're just kind of going with it. And how then people are more like, and I suppose there's a little hypnosis to it.
Hmm.
Are you going to see all these little ghosts and goblins on Halloween because you're programmed, you know, somehow unconsciously? Or is it that you really do see them, and it, you know, and they come out at Halloween? I'm just trying to be a little analytical here,
right?
But I've had plenty of experiences with little people. You know, things go missing in my house all the time.
Well, so were you thinking those are fairies? Perhaps I'd say elves are probably a little bit too big to be doing that, but perhaps even a goblin.
Well, in my experience, and again with my indigenous friends up here, you know, the First Nations people, it's little people are pretty normal. And when you have experiences that, and you feel like the little people around, some people see them, then you put things out to feed them. It calms them down, or mm-hmm. you put out games, or you put out a little corner for them to play, and that's kind of the deal. So you coexist with the worlds. You know, you coexist with the little people. You know?
Right, and just to clarify, we're not talking about people with, you know, dwarfism or anything. We're talking about...
Oh, the mid-worlds.
Yes.
Spirits.
And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because there are, you know, many places in the world, especially, and, you know, I've been on as we were talking about before we went live, I've been on a bit of a Norse mythology kick of late. And one thing I found, and I corroborated this with a little quick search online, large percentages in Scandinavia, and even an outright majority in Iceland, believe in actively or believe in the possibility of, you know, dwarves, elves, fairies that exist in the land. In fact, in Iceland, they even diverted roads around certain boulders and places to avoid disturbing these creatures. So the belief is very real and still active in the modern day. And it's that's just utterly fascinating. You know, I personally don't have experience with these particular things. Well, sometimes things happen. I was like, I forgot or something like that. But then again, in Florida, I'm not sure what we have here. It's too hot for any of that stuff. You know?
Well, I think that anywhere that there are portals or ley lines on the earth, I think these are energy centers. I don't know. I see Earth is kind of one big magnet, you know, with electrical currents. And wherever there are these pockets or little portals, and that's where you're most likely to be able to experience or see them.
Hmm.
So I'm sure there are portals in Florida.
Oh, surely there must be. You know, there have been a lot of interesting, you know, local folklore and things dating to the people that existed, Calusa, that existed here before, you know, the Creek or the Seminole or anybody. And it's interesting how much similarity there is between these geographically disparate places, that you have such similarity in legend and the creatures that you can, the folklore builds up. You know, the notions of dragons are very much global. The notions of a lot of the things that we've spoken of, these creatures that exist in, you know, the different layers of dimensions, exist throughout many, many, if not, you know, most cultures throughout the world. And, you know, I could rant along on this direction a little bit too, but it's, I think, I was reading in chat, Wendy says that she votes for cats being responsible for missing items. I would tend to agree with that. I blame my cat for a lot of things being knocked off counters and rolling under couches.
Yeah.
I was also joking with Dr. Hunter prior to the broadcast. We were talking about ghosts, and I personally never, you know, seen a ghost apparition. And I think it's because I've always had a cat as a family, as a boy, and as an adult. I've always had one along with dogs most of the time. And I'm pretty sure that, if I'm not mistaken, cats are guardians of the underworld or protectors of the dead. So I'm thinking that's why they're keeping the ghosts away. They're terrified of cats, just like that scene in The Mummy. But,
well, I mean, the Egyptians knew what they were doing with cats.
Yeah.
So we go back to that day. But the my old teacher, my late teacher, would say that cats are transformers of negative female energy, and dogs are transformers of negative male energy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely transformers, and that's why she would say that. That's why cats always, you know, fritz out all the time and go bonkers. They're releasing all that pent-up energy. No, I think there's a lot going on here because my cat's been doing it a lot lately, so...
Yeah.
You know, I think I want to share this little story. When my kids were younger, I was very sure they were little people, because who else would be responsible for a whole bunch of my things missing? And including, you know, my belt, my slippers, a scarf, and there was about five things that were missing. And, of course, the kids and I had hunted high and low for this, and the kids and I were downstairs. And I said, that's it. All you little people, I want my stuff back. That's it, or I'm banishing you. So give me back my stuff. I turned around to walk up the stairs, and on each step was all of these things placed nicely on the steps. And I went, well, thank you very much, everybody. Of course, I'm saying, whoa, that was fast. But about a week later, noticed also there had been this writing, and looked like black ink, on the microwave, a very sketchy, you know, kind of hello. At least that's what you could think you could make it out. And I'm thinking, what, now they're writing on my microwave? That's crazy. But about 10 years later, my eldest daughter said, nah, I did the microwave. So, and I said, oh, man, I was thinking they could write. So, they like to play jokes. But for the record, my indigenous friends would also say that little people only come to people they like.
Yeah.
People with a sense of humor, or people they like. They're not dark and scary like a lot of folks might feel. And I think that people become afraid of things, number one, they don't understand, they don't know about, and anything they can't explain.
Right.
And if it's in this, you know, very kind of mysterious experience, they want to reject it, or they become fearful and say, oh, I need my house, you know, I need some priest to come in and exorcise my house, or people clear the spirits. And I'm saying, why would you do that? You know, I like them. And, well, you never feel lonely when they're around, that's for sure. But there's other worlds, and I think that this is the time when people start to talk about it. They certainly no matter what you believe, what faith you have, whatever, mm-hmm. it is that Halloween is to be fun and enjoy crazy stuff. And a lot of the time that should deflect the fact that everybody's scared spitless.
Oh, sure. I mean, and especially, you know, these traditions come from a time when life was objectively far more terrifying than it is now on just a daily basis. You know, survival was not a certainty. You had to fight for it. And, you know, you're about to go into a dark and possibly difficult winter. You're going to have some fun and, you know, celebrate the harvest, and you're going to notice the changing of the seasons, you know, how, just like you said, things are going to sleep, you know, life is changing. And during these times, you know, I'm open to the idea that these different things can make themselves apparent. But it's really the history of this and how it has helped shape us as a society and as people. It's the stories of our past. It's the folklore and the myths, legends, be they real or just, you know, creations. I think, just like you said, in some cases, quite possibly, you know, some reality to it. And
well, yeah, the fact that it's held on for so long. You know, I mean, it's morphed. There's no question.
Right.
Halloween in its beliefs or how people justify it. Number one, it's a lot of fun. It gives people an excuse to have their, you know, super ego all over the place. But the fact that Halloween has, it has sustained itself for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed the date as opposed to other kinds of celebrations, like when was Christ's birthday really? You know, mm-hmm. we celebrate it on the 25th of December, but really that was a deal made with the church. At least I believe that.
Well, and that's just historic fact. I mean, it it was what, Saturn's Day? I don't know what the romanization of that would be, but it was the, yeah. I think the day owing to the god Saturn that they converted into a, you know, a Christian holiday of Christmas. Mm. Just like they did with All Saints Day or Halloween or, you know,
Easter.
Easter is another one, you know, the, you know, spring fertility. And
sure.
It, you know, we said we're going to be talking about ghosts and goblins and the paranormal. And, you know, ghosts are an interesting thing to kind of delve into while we still have some time, I think, because it, it's that concept of, you know, what is it about a ghost that brings such terror into a person's heart? Or, you know, it's, you go to see a horror movie and you pay money to get that mm-hmm. jolt of adrenaline because the ghost, you know, pops up on the screen. Or, you know, after I've read a particularly good Stephen King book, I'll be walking through a dark hall and I'll just have a thought in the back of my head, you know, what's back there? I'm not going to turn around. It's probably fine. But what is it about that that gives us the chills, gives us the, you know, the shot of adrenaline?
Well, I think there is a love affair, a secret love affair with the occult,
mm-hmm.
Even if people are fearful, and it gets the adrenaline going, the dopamine, I guess.
Yeah.
And Audra says, because it makes you feel alive to get that rush. It's true. You know, it's like adrenaline junkies. But I think that even unconsciously, it does awaken something in the psyche that there could very well be something to it. And again, not in the way of ghosts per se.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, because I think of Halloween, I'm thinking white sheets of ghosts, you know, but really it's the spirit world and those who live in another dimension or behind the veil, and those, that consciousness and however it can manifest. And I think each of us spiritually kind of remembers, I believe that there's a memory that we have of, you know, that's where we came from and that's where we're going to return. But how we have turned it into this trickery, I think, and the fear of it and turn it into fun and mock it and everything came from mostly religious context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mock those ghosts or make fun of them or let's watch a horror movie. I mean, even I've met some really devout Christians who like horror movies. Go figure. You know, it's a, and what does that awaken in you?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Fran, thanks for that. She said November 1st is the beginning of Egugan, Igungun masqueraders in Nigeria. She said it's believed that the masqueraders are given special powers by the gods to communicate with them and the ancestors. See, I love that, you know? And I think every indigenous culture has its own take of that. So, mm-hmm. Thanks for saying that.
Speaking of the dead and people that have passed, there's an ancient, especially an Irish tradition of the jack-o'-lanterns, and, they're essentially inhabited by spirits that were deprived of both going to heaven or hell. And so they inhabit these jack-o'-lanterns during All Saints Day and All Hallows Eve. Mm. And that's kind of where the origin of that came from. They would light these to house the souls of people that were rejected from the afterlife. Which is an interesting little tidbit to throw in while we're talking about the dead,
well,
and Halloween.
On the Night of the Dead, where it came from is they would hollow out turnips and put a candle in it, and that's the way they lit the way. And that's why we do pumpkins.
Hmm.
That's
you
where
know.
That came from. Turnips turned into pumpkins.
Well, oh. Pumpkin's much easier to
yes.
use. A turnip, that's a rough one. How long does it take you to hollow out a turnip?
Ooh, I'll bet that was a tough one. But just the same, I love all these little tidbits of history and where things began and how they got distorted or changed go ahead.
And there's so many different branches, too. I mean, and this is such a great topic. I mean, we get to talk about, werewolves and lycanthropes and shapeshifters and things like that have existed in our folklore for thousands of years, and of course they come out during Halloween as we talk about the spooks and the scary things, but zombies, vampires, all these things, they have such ancient origins, and we continue to celebrate these kind of traditions today, especially during Halloween, where we kind of focus on the spooky and the Day of the Dead and the lines between realities perhaps shifting a little bit. But
well, I love this time of year, and no matter what it conjures in people, it's another one of those celebrations, although it's said in the chat Russia doesn't like Halloween, apparently. So who knows?
It's a Catholic tradition in Russia's, of course, traditionally Eastern Orthodox, or I guess Russian Orthodox, specifically. So I guess it makes sense that they wouldn't have had and I think that's an interesting thing, is that you didn't see the Eastern Church do kind of the same things that the Western Church did in co-opting the local traditions of the pre-Christian or quote-unquote pagan folk. But
very good point, Michael. Very good point.
So it's interesting how that's shaped the cultures. And, I think...
My bet is the ancient, the older indigenous cultures, even of Russia and those upper eastern areas of Europe would definitely celebrate the seasonal changes, and have their own folklore to go with it. So I love this time of year, and no matter what it conjures to everybody, it is something that we all share on largely throughout the world, of something that binds us, much like Yuletide and mm-hmm. Christmas or something. Even though the days may alter in your culture, we still celebrate something. So that's what I love about Halloween. It's how we're all connected, even in our unconscious energy. And so it's fun. I like it that the worlds open up, and I like that imagery, and I'm sticking to it. So that's where I go with it.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting and fascinating topic. And, I'm definitely open to the notion of these realities kind of intersecting and, what we think might be true. It's a fun time of year, and I love it too because of the changing of the seasons. It gets cooler. You can see the transition into winter, my particular favorite season. Don't ask me why. And that's coming from South Dakota, not Florida. I miss the snow, but, it's lighthearted. It's fun. it is, you know, kind of a lot of people use it as an excuse to kind of let out their, you know, darker sides. Not, you know, terribly dark, but, you know, they have a little bit more fun with it, and people cut loose a little bit more. They're, you know, they, you know, especially, you know, we haven't even talked about how costumes and trick or treating came up and things
that
like
was
that.
To mimic the dead.
Well, let's see. I actually had been skimming through some things, and I had made a note of something I'm going to bounce to real quick.
Mm.
But, of course, you know, there's a lot of Christian influence in it. But let's see. It was the... yes, the origins of the trick-or-treat. Of course, it's said to have its roots in a medieval practice. Kind of closely related to souling, which is something where, up until relatively recently, even in England until the 1930s, people practiced the Christian custom of souling on Halloween, which involved groups of soulers, both Protestant and Catholic, going from parish to parish, begging the rich for soul cakes in exchange for praying for the souls of the givers and their friends. So that kind of
treat.
Right. So you go in, and that, of course, has a lot of it is British in origin. In Scotland and Ireland, guising is what they call the children guised in costume going from door to door for food or coins is a traditional custom. It's recorded as far back as at least 1895, where masqueraders would carry in disguise would carry lanterns made out of scooped out turnips, just like you'd said, and visit homes to be rewarded with cakes, fruit, and money. And I think all this started out with, you know, offering to pray for the souls of those on All, you know, All Saints Day or All Souls Day.
Mm.
And of course, it's just morphed over time.
You see all the things we can come up with? That's so exciting. It's so interesting how we have evolved these events and celebrations. I think it's great, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it goes by so quickly when we get, you know, on air. And we could talk about this for a long time. And I think we should probably have a part two of Paranormal in a few weeks. Let's maybe do that.
Yeah, and, I think that's a good idea.
Sure. But for now, I did put in the chat room, if anybody would like us to choose a card for them, I think this would be a good time to start because names are popping up like crazy.
All so right.
How about start and go for that?
I think we have
Jamil first, as far as I can see. So let's get to work, Michael.
All right. I'm on it. All right. So we're going to start with the Inner Oracle cards. And something just to kind of get you thinking. Hopefully it resonates with you. And I think we're going to follow that up with a tarot card. Is that right?
That's right. We sure will.
Perfect. All right. So, Jamil, I have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter.
Mm.
That kind of corresponds with the new phase of life as we go through this time of year.
It is.
Let's see. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
I love that because you got the magician in support of the new chapter, Jamil. So that's all about transformation. Think about metamorphosis, changing energy, and that's what you're doing. You're shifting up your energy and moving forward. So I'm going to say that something recently happened. Maybe it was in a dream, but that you got like the attitude is shifting and changing and some optimism. And again, I know that we're in difficult times these days, but you know, there's certainly lots of reason for hope and lots of reason for positive energy and positive movement. And I think you got this, Jamil. So that's my take.
Very nice.
Dr. Edward is next, Michael.
All right. And let's see, Dr. Edward. I have number 10, Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit.
Yeah, gotta love that too.
All right, let's see. All right. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, I got the moon for you, Dr. Edward, in support of that. Ooh, power of spirit, the moon, all things are possible. You know, the flip side of moon is deception, but it does reveal itself. So anything hidden, anything that you want to know about is being revealed to you so that you can move forward with your own inner power. And I love that too. Really positive energy going around. I'm going to say partly because of the full moon coming up too. So
all right.
we're in a consciousness shift. Remember that, everybody. So a few of you here, I think you are tuned in and getting it. Wendy's up next, our resident cook.
All right.
What have you got for Wendy?
Wendy, I have wild card number 2 and then some. Let's see. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
You know, Wendy, this is one of those moments when the Ten of Spades comes up, and it means, you know, overcoming some difficulty or challenge. And again, I'm going to go to your workplace because I feel like things at home, you know, it's got its own ride, but you're doing fine. And then some, meaning you might feel like you're putting out more than you're getting back. And keep doing that because you'll see, according to what I'm seeing here, you'll see that negative, you know, start falling down, falling away. And people have nowhere to go when you're positive. So give it the extra and then some, even if it's painful. And I have to, you know, say even if it's painful, because sometimes I'm rolling my eyes and want to put an ice pick in my ear, you know. But you've got to do it. Always take the high road. So there you go.
Good advice. Good advice.
So, and, Audra.
Actually, I think, do you think we have time to pull a card for Ghost?
Oh, for Ghost. All right. The dog Ghost.
Yes.
Wheel of Fortune. Taking chances. Oh, don't let the dog take too many chances. Wheel of Fortune. Opportunities. You know, my feeling is a grumbly stomach. It's something grumbly, but I feel like that's clearing out also. I don't know why I say that, but it could have just been a bad day or eating something that didn't agree, but positive, you know, and good positive energy.
Very nice. And, you know, I did happen to pull out a card for a Ghost, too, and I think this is perfect for a dog.
Yeah.
Number 6, boundaries.
Good idea. Don't let him out of the yard.
All right.
Move on, shall we? And we got a lot of names here, Michael.
We do.
So we have Audra up next, I think.
We do have Audra next. And Audra, for you, I have pulled number 38, open-mindedness.
I like it.
An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, in that, Audra, I got the 6 of Diamonds, and I'm going to say keep an open mind, but don't make any rash investments. It's just saying maybe an interesting way of a return on money that wouldn't be ordinary, but at the same time, just an element of caution that comes to me in that. So if somebody thinks they're giving you the deal of a lifetime, it might be too good to be true. So it's just a little caution, but I do see an extra little bit of money coming to you. So,
Very nice. Always good to hear.
A nice little bit there for you. We have Fran up next.
All right, and this one is perfect for Fran. It's number 21, Insight and Wisdom.
I love it.
Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, in support of that is temperance, Fran. It's just patience. You know, temperance is water, right? It's like being like the water, letting it go with the flow, letting some information funnel from one area to the next. And what I'm inclined to want to say to you is don't apologize for knowing things and taking advantage of things other people know about, and don't pay attention. So I just wanted to say that to you for some reason. But this is about observing, going with the flow, and moving forward when you know it's your time. So you got the wisdom there, that's for sure. Okay.
All right, very nice. And yeah, Sherry is next.
Sherry's next. Yes, yes.
At least according to my tally, and I. Yeah. So, you know, if we've already passed and you threw your name in, throw it in again. It's a busy chat, and we're trying to keep up with everything. But I do believe we have Sherry next, and I pulled number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Sherry, I got the Four of Diamonds in support of that, and sometimes that indicates the miser, you know, holding on to things, feeling its own security. So in support of communication, no, we have to put these energies together to tell a story that makes sense. And I'm inclined to want to say, hold on to your knowledge, like hold on to it. And don't be afraid to hoard it and not say anything. Sometimes the best words are ones unsaid. There's always a time in communication to speak up on your own behalf, and then there's other times where we have to say, I have to keep that to myself. So keeping things to yourself, hoarding that information a little bit until it's time and right is just a bit of wisdom here, I think. So that's the message there. So however, you know, that applies in some way in your life.
All right.
Nice to see Jeff here tonight.
All right. Yes, it is. And tonight, speaking of cats, I have a cat that has not only knocked over several things in the last 10 minutes, some of which have rolled under things. He's now climbing into a bag of dry goods on my counter.
So
we're going to let that go for now because we have to get to Dr. Jeff's card.
Yes.
And I have number 7, self-mastery.
All right.
To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
I like it that you got the Four of Clubs, or pardon me, the Six of Clubs here, Jeff. And, you know, six is always about promises, commitments, family, loyalty. And in clubs, it's about changes. So in self-mastery, it's reevaluating where you're putting that. And it's not boundaries so much as it is a reevaluation of commitments and how you celebrate your life and what's required to celebrate your life. and really positive energy around this, because I keep seeing green, and to me that's a green light, the heart, and I feel like you've achieved something in the last few months that has brought you into a new place. So I think that's exciting. That's my feel, anyway. We have Shirley next, Michael.
All right, and actually I pulled my personal favorite, wild card number one, Paradox.
I love that card.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
I got the Ten of Diamonds for you on that one, Shirley. So I think an unexpected source of income, finances, security. Ten of Diamonds is the marketplace, right? It's that taking things to a new level, taking yourself to a new level. So Paradox is saying it could be in a new way, something that you hadn't quite anticipated. So I want to say, keep your head up, you know, eyes open and go with the flow, even though it's something you're saying, well, I didn't think of that before, but it's a very positive energy coming around.
Kevin is next.
Welcome, Kevin.
All right. And, welcome, Kevin. I don't think we've seen you before, so welcome to the broadcast, and let's see what we have. Number 37, groundedness.
All right.
Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, in support of that, I got the High Priestess for you, Kevin. And that's insight. It's intuition. And so the caution here with groundedness is not to go off on foo-foo land. And that's something we all have to watch out for, that we don't start developing belief systems or thoughts that, you know, kind of go off the, you know, like off the grid. Because everything does have a sensibility and finding the order of things. So if something makes sense one way, it should also make sense another way. And it should feel really good. So using your intuition, as your intuition expands, then go with the feel, go with what you feel is right, but also look for the sensibility to things. So I think you're in your own awakening, what I think. So first timers, we have a new name in the chat. Now I have, forgive me, no idea how to pronounce that, or, you know, if it's two names together, I'm not sure, but I'm going to say easy, just for the sake of something that's easy. No pun intended. So if you don't mind that, I'll just say easy is in short. Let's pick cards and see what message we have for our newcomer, easy.
All right. And this is a good one. This is classic, and it's indicative of who we are as metaphysicians. Wildcard number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others.
Well, in support of that is the Ten of Hearts, easy. So I'm excited to say that even though the don't hate, which I know it seems like a negative, is actually, in this case, turned into a positive with replenishment. It's one thing about the Ten of Hearts. It is a replenishment. Oh, thank you, Elena. She said her name is Elena. Thank you for saying that.
Ah, yes.
Okay. When you get all that lowercase and all those names stuck together, so thanks for clarifying that. That's awesome.
And actually, I did a search, and Zelikanovas came up as a top result, so I was wondering how to pronounce that correctly. And thank you for clarifying, Elena. Thank you so much for joining us. We love to have you.
Yeah. So just to finish up, I think you're in this replenishment of the heart. And I think the message here is to let go of past hurts and that healing of that. So, again, replenishing love, replenishing heart energy. And that's a very exciting thing. You know, I think all of us go through periods and probably always healing from something in our lives. But there's always this new energy coming in. So whenever we empty something, it gets filled up again with something else, and I think that's what is happening. So welcome, Elena, welcome, Kevin. We've had quite the crowd tonight. Happy to do all these little readings for you, and you know, especially on Halloween coming up, and
you know we didn't even moon. There's so many topics to cover, and you know, I can rant on about a topic for a minute or two, but we are going to do a paranormal part two coming up here, because we didn't get into cryptozoology and those kind of things. Oof. We didn't get into a lot of paranormal concepts. Didn't get into Ouija boards. Another thing that I had jotted down that we
Fran said, whatever you do in the chat, she wrote this. Whatever you do, do not pick up the Ouija board.
Oh, I'm grabbing one. I'm grabbing one.
Period. And I said, exactly.
But I want to.
Conjuring up the dead, there's plenty of them walking around, trust me. So it's been off as awesome. Dr. Jeff says, great to be here tonight. Good night, all. And, you know, that's about where we're at, you know. So another show come to an end. Thank you, everybody,
absolutely,
for joining us tonight.
And we're going to be back next week, you know, assuming that the world still exists after the upcoming election, which, you know, it probably will. 50-50. We'll see. But we'll...
With Dr. Kelly.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Dr. Kelly will be joining us next week.
Let's see, I don't have a topic yet, but we're going to have, you know, another insightful discussion about metaphysics like we do every week. It's going to be a great time, so we encourage you to join us.
probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But anyway, thank you for joining us for an entertaining discussion. I'm looking forward to, in a few weeks here, kind of retouching on this topic, kind of getting into some of the things we didn't have time to tonight. And yeah, we're just going to have another great time talking about some of the most fascinating topics that exist in the world, coming together as a community of these like-minded, curious people. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening to the archives. And thank you, Dr. Hunter, as always. I always enjoy our discussions and chats.
Thank you, Michael.
Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Happy Halloween, everyone.